AFR On Demand is brought to you by Old River Trucks. New, pre-owned, rentals, parts, and service. Old River Trucks, we work harder. Learn more, oldrivertrucks.com.
Ooh, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
After further review with Matt Moscona, now on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans and 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Back here from Pluckers on Bluebonnet, our final Football Friday here at Pluckers, and glad you're driving home with us. It's been a pleasure throughout the season to check in with our friend Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. He's on Twitter at GoForTheTwo, the numeral two. Yahoo Sports Radio, guy's got a million affiliations, but we're glad he's with us on certain Fridays throughout the season. Joe, thanks for the time, man. How are you, dude?
Doing well, Matt. Can't wait for another great weekend of college football. Love the show.
Lot is on the line, man, starting tonight. Let's take a look first, if we can, at this Pac-12 title game. Washington in the preseason was my dark horse for the playoff, and they're on the cusp, but I find myself kind of rooting, actually, for Colorado to pull an upset, for there to be a ton of chaos. What do you think about the Buffs' chances of pulling the big upset tonight?
Well, I think they have to favor a low-scoring game. I think they have a shot in this ballgame because of their defense, Matt. Only giving up around 135 rushing yards per game. They're holding opposing offenses to around 30% in terms of third down conversions, and they force turnovers. They're plus 10 in turnover margin entering this battle. So in order to win big ball games, you need to step up and force turnovers on the road. But here's the thing I look at when I look at this matchup overall. I think it's the speed of Washington on the perimeter with Dante Pettis and wide receiver John Ross that are really going to put a lot of pressure on that secondary for Colorado. Those players combined this year, 121 receptions, 1,858 yards, and 30 receiving touchdowns. I mean, Jake Browning has thrown 40 touchdowns. I think if Washington starts fast, I think it could be a long night. And you're talking about the team in the Huskies that lead FBS with a plus 18 in turnover margin. I think Washington dominates this game. I think it could be ugly late in the second half. I'm looking for about a 40-10 Husky victory tonight in the Pac-12 championship.
There's this uneasy feeling among the college football playoff selection committee and really every bowl representative because of what might happen with the group of five representative if Navy beats Temple. Next week's Army-Navy game. So how does this be, Joe? Of course, everyone's keeping their eye on Western Michigan against Ohio, where they're a big favorite, but then you've also got the Navy-Temple game. What are we looking for in those two?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's hot on Navy, and they've been playing lights out right now, Matt. I mean, they got the victory earlier in the year over Notre Dame, put up 75 points last week against SMU, but they're playing a very blue-collar team in Temple that's 9-3 overall, and more importantly, has played well on the road this year. They won three ball games, lost two, and they played in this ball game last year against Houston and lost. So I think that's a big factor heading up into this matchup. And you look at their offense and defensive line play. This is a defense that's only allowing 127 rushing yards per game. They're plus three in turnover margin. And more importantly, they can run the football effectively, averaging 191 yards on the ground with running back Jahad Thomas and a mobile quarterback in Phillip Walker. You look at the one game that Navy played this year against a big physical offensive line in South Florida. They allowed over 400 yards rushing to that team. And then on the flip side, Temple did play two option teams this year. Week number one, they lost to Army 28-13. But later in the year, they backed that up with Tulane and won that matchup 31-0. So they're faced the triple option now twice this year. I think that's a big advantage. And I'm calling for the Owl upset in Annapolis this weekend, 33-20 over the Midshipmen.
Dudes in ugly blazers in college stadiums all around the country this weekend are throwing their arms around your neck and giving you a big kiss on the cheek if that plays out. Bedlam, Joe. It's not officially a conference championship game, but it's for the Big 12 championship. Oklahoma hosts Oklahoma State, number 9 against number 10, rivalry game, 11:30 Central Time on Fox. How does it go down?
I like Oklahoma here just for the simple fact of the balance on offense with Joe Mixon and P. Ryan, their running backs, and the big play wide receiver D.D. Westbrook, and the way Baker Mayfield's playing. If the game was in Stillwater, I would think Mason Rudolph and this team have a shot. But I just think that it's a bad matchup for the Cowboys, and I think Oklahoma dominates this matchup. Remember 2 years ago when Mason Rudolph got the start as a true freshman, they pulled off the upset in overtime. I think Oklahoma rolls in Norman this coming weekend.
Joe Lisi at GoForTheTwo on Twitter, GoForTheTwo.com. But Joe, before I ask you to break down Alabama-Florida, the SEC championship game, Joe, what has happened in the SEC that has made this game for the better part of a decade now completely non-competitive?
It's unreal when you think about it because, I mean, we grew up with the SEC championship, Matt. This is right. What got it started. I mean, this was 1992. This is the year that we all remember where they got the upset over Alabama. Alabama got the upset over Florida. I don't know. I just think that Alabama, you know, they're a machine lately. And when Nick Saban has recruited top five talent over the last couple of years, they just don't seem to miss a beat. And then you look at the flip side with Jim McElwain and Florida. They've had multiple injuries throughout the year, but mostly on the offensive and defensive lines, that's really hurt that team in terms of the trenches. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I really think that Alabama has a significant advantage in this ballgame. They've only allowed two teams this year to rush for over 100 yards. It was Ole Miss in week three. They got 101 yards on the ground, and then Texas A&M in the loss on the road in Tuscaloosa, they rushed for 114 yards on the ground. You look at Florida, they're only averaging 141 yards rushing per game in 2016. I think it's going to be a long day for Austin Appleby. I think Alabama rolls here and wins this game by about 28 points.
Joe, the nightcap will double dip the ACC and Big Ten title games. We'll start with the game between Clemson and Virginia Tech. Boy, Virginia Tech quietly has been a great story this year under Justin Fuente. First-year coach, he wins the Conference Coach of the Year honors. He's got them in the title game for the first time since 2011. Can Virginia Tech pull the upset against Clemson, which seems to be on a collision course potentially with a rematch with Alabama in the title game?
Yeah, they can. I like Virginia Tech the way they match up against Clemson. You look at Clemson overall, I mean, they're playing lights out on the defensive side of the ball, Matt. They've only allowed two teams to complete 60% or more of their passes. It was in the victory at home against Louisville. They completed 61%, and Syracuse did in the loss get 60% completion percentage. Outside of that, Clemson's held opposing offenses to 146 of 298 pass completions. That's only 48%. But here's a team in Virginia Tech that has three big play weapons. They have tight end Bucky Hodges, Cam Phillips, and Isaiah Ford, their big play wide receivers, that have combined for 169 receptions, 2,323 yards, and 18 touchdowns. And they have a mobile quarterback in Jerod Evans. He passed for 26 touchdowns. He also rushed for eight touchdowns on the ground. And their third down defense, they've held opposing offenses to 26% on third down conversions. So when you force three and outs and you give your offense field position, you could score points. I think this is a different matchup than it was last year against North Carolina. North Carolina last year was allowing 247 rushing yards per game. Virginia Tech this year only allowing 146 yards on the ground. I think they're going to be in this game from start to finish and push the Tigers to the limit. But I do think Clemson wins about a four-point game in Charlotte this coming Saturday.
Close one. We'll keep an eye on it. I think, Joe, the Big Ten championship game was actually played last weekend in Columbus. But formerly, the Big Ten championship game will be played tomorrow night. With Wisconsin hosting Penn State, and there's so much drama and intrigue here because of Penn State and what might hold with the college football playoff, being that they, of course, upset Ohio State and could very well win the Big Ten. Joe, I would think that the committee and people trying to avoid chaos are pulling for the Badgers in this one. What do you think Wisconsin's chances are of holding off Penn State, hoisting the Big Ten championship, and Paul Christ?
I think they have a solid chance, but I really think that this game really favors Penn State and the momentum that James Franklin and this crew has built up over recent weeks. And I look at that quarterback in Trace McSorley, who is a mobile quarterback, Matt. I think that could be the difference in this matchup. You look at Wisconsin last week at home against Minnesota. They trailed that ball game 17-7 at half before they forced turnovers by quarterback Minnesota quarterback Mitch Widener. But in the first half, he had success off the read option. Trace McSorley is a mobile quarterback. Look for James Franklin to utilize his legs in this battle. I think that could be a difference maker. And then you look at Penn State's defense overall. Even though Wisconsin dominates the statistics, Penn State very solid in third down defense, holding opposing offenses to 32% in 2016, and they're only allowing 146 rushing yards per game. If Saquon Barkley and McSorley can utilize the read option, I think they could put up some points. And I think Penn State gets the upset 20-14 over the Badgers this weekend and throws a monkey wrench into the CFP this year.
Well, if we ever want to get to 8, we need chaos. I know largely that's what I'll be rooting for this weekend. We'll see how it plays out. I know you'll be watching, Joe. We always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Any time, Matt. Love the show. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, buddy. You do the same. He's on Twitter at GoForTheTwo, or you can read his stuff at GoForTheTwo, numeral two, GoForTheTwo.com. Joe Lees, he does stuff on Yahoo Sports Radio as well. Got a national show on Saturday mornings. Great dude. I mean, you can tell, like, he's an encyclopedia of college football numbers and knowledge. And he says when he does these interviews that he doesn't use notes. Like, all that stuff he's just got right there at the forefront of his brain. It's incredible. That's incredible just to listen to him go, the depth and breadth of his knowledge. All right, it's AFR. We're at Pluckers on Blue Bonnet. Glad you're with us. Let me do this. We'll knock out a break, come back. No more guests, so I got a segment open if you want to call, and I've got lines open if you want them as well. 499-1045, 499-1045, or toll-free 844-568. Matt, 844-568-6288. I'll give you a preview and a pick on Saints-Lions, and I'll get to your phone calls when we come back next on AFR.